And no doubt these were tears of suffering. These were tears of compassion. These were tears of bearing burdens and griefs with others. The Apostle Paul is here speaking about the emotional toll that it took for him to serve in his office. Which brings us to number four. His ministry was saturated with the Word of God. His ministry was saturated with the Word of God publicly preached, but also being counseled privately from home to home. He says in verse 27 that he did not shrink back from declaring to God's people the whole counsel of God, which means as his ministry was saturated with the Word of God, that was his ultimate aim. His aim was to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was no man pleaser. Instead, he was eager to feed God's people with the Word of God. Number five, his ministry was for all people. He highlights there in verse 21 that he was ministering to both Jews and Greeks, which simply highlights that he made no distinctions among those whom he ministered to. He was eager to bring the Word of God and his shepherding care to all people without distinctions and without partiality. He was one who was able to see God's people as those for whom Christ died. And that was all the motivation he needed to love them well. Number six, his ministry was aimed at repentance and faith. He says that he was testifying of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. As he went about declaring the good news of Jesus Christ, he was eager to see people walking the Christian life. And it is characterized by these two words, repentance and faith. That is a summary of the Christian life. Number seven, he was led by and dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul clearly in this text shows us how sensitive he was to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This was a man who went about his calling day to day in an absolute dependence upon the Holy Spirit. He knew that the Holy Spirit was leading him to go to Jerusalem. He knew that the Holy Spirit was teaching him that wherever he went, he would face trials of various kinds. Which brings us to number eight. He was ready for trials. Paul said that the Holy Spirit testified to him that imprisonments and afflictions would meet him in whatever cities that he would go to. He knew that his ministry was going to be filled with trials. He knew that serving in this calling that God had placed upon his life was not going to be an easy road, but rather by depending upon the Holy Spirit, he could walk wherever the Holy Spirit would lead him. Which brings us finally to number nine. The Apostle Paul poured out his life for the sake of Christ and for the good of his church. He said, I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. The Apostle Paul is one so overwhelmed with what God has done for him in Jesus Christ. He is one who understands the big picture so much so that he has already let go of his life in this world. He is not clinging to any idea or dream of what he might still have. Instead, he is willing to pour it all out for the sake of Jesus Christ. He had one desire, and that was that Christ would be exalted in his life, that Christ would be glorified. Well, in hearing these nine facets, we can see how the Apostle Paul is giving to us a reflection of Jesus in the way that he came and he walked among us. And the very simple yet profound reason for this is because the Apostle Paul himself has his eyes fixed upon Christ. In any and all circumstances, he has a single focus. He is a single-minded man, and he is looking dependently upon Jesus in any and all circumstances. He is devoted. And brothers, fellow elders and newly ordained elders, this must be your paradigm as you serve Christ in his church. Well, that is the elder's example, so let's go on to consider next the elder's charge. We live in a world of heightened distraction. And I think we are all well aware of how there is so much technology in our lives that is designed to direct our attention to what others would have us consider, rather than we have ownership of our own attention, rather than we be intentional about what we give our attention to. Well, here the Apostle Paul charged the Ephesian elders to lay hold of their own attention, to lay hold of their own attention and to be very intentional to direct it where it ought to be. An elder's attention must be disciplined. He must not be one who is unable to focus or one who is easily distracted. Instead, he must be able to concentrate. Paul uses the imagery of that of a shepherd and sheep. So you might just imagine tonight for a moment a shepherd out tending to his flock. You might imagine that imagery then brought into the modern world and that shepherd having a cell phone in his hand and his eyes down being pulled into whatever directions that device might direct him. Well, in that moment, how effective is that shepherd? And in that moment, how much danger has he just invited to the sheep? Well, this is why the Apostle Paul says to elders, you must pay careful attention first to yourselves. Derek Thomas wrote that you are only as useful to Christ as you are devoted to Christ. And Robert Murray McShane wrote similarly, saying, do not forget the culture of the heart. In great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses, so much as great likeness to Jesus. Well, brothers, the way in which you pay careful attention to yourselves is by walking closely with Christ. You see, your life must match your oversight. I have glasses on this evening, and it requires two lenses to bring this world into clarity or into sight. And so it is with your life. Your example cannot contradict your counsel. You cannot say one thing and do another. You cannot counsel with the Word of God unless your own heart and life are first submitted to and counseled by the Word of God. You won't be able to fix someone's attention upon Christ unless your own eyes are already fixated upon Christ. And it is easy to be lulled to sleep, to be lulled into a state of distractedness through the busyness of our lives. But elders are called to order their lives in such a way that they are able to give their careful, appropriate attention to their own lives before God. It's easy for us as individuals to become in balance. We all have our own personal responsibilities, responsibilities at work, and then we have our own responsibilities within the church as well. And so Paul is here emphasizing that this is not something that the elders do only individually, but this is something we do among ourselves. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves, not yourself only, but yourselves. This is something that we do together as elders. And so elders, we must be diligent to care for our own souls personally and for the souls of each other, which means we must attend to the means of grace. We must attend to the word and sacrament, not for the sake of others, but primarily for the tending of our own hearts and souls. We must also attend to an earnest study of the Scriptures. Again, not primarily for the sake of others, you will do that, but primarily for the tending of your own heart and soul. And finally, you must have a prayerful dependence upon God. You should spend much time in prayer. You must spend much time in prayer for this flock. But much of your prayer needs to be concerning the state of your own heart and soul. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul asks that rhetorical question, who is sufficient for these things? And the answer is obvious, none of us. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is sufficient for these things but Christ alone. And so our prayer lives need to reflect this. So again, elders must first pay careful attention to themselves, but second, elders must pay careful attention to all the flock. You can't be a good shepherd unless you are tending to the sheep. Richard Baxter writes in The Reformed Pastor about how elders are to do this. And in his book, he writes about the various states of graces of grace. He writes about how there will be new believers. Now, those who are strong in faith, those who are weak in faith, those who have a particular struggle or a besetting sin, some who will be backsliding, others who are in a blessed season of life. But then he says, do you know your flock in this way? Do you know the individuals of this congregation? Could you state what state of grace they are in? He also identifies various stages of life. You're going to have young and old, married, unmarried, widows, fatherless, every perceivable category. And he says you must be willing to shepherd your congregation without partiality. You need to shepherd the sheep according to their needs. And so what Baxter is getting at is you must know the sheep. You must know this entire congregation. You must be able to sacrifice time in order to get to know and to get to know well these people. A good teacher cannot teach well until he first understands the needs of each of his students. Similarly, a doctor cannot diagnose until he has spent sufficient time with his patient to understand what is wrong. How can we pay a careful attention to all without being actively involved in their lives? Our lives as elders must be wrapped up together with the lives of those within this congregation. You actually hear that right here in the text where the Apostle Paul says that he was declaring the Word of God from house to house. He was in their homes. He was getting to know the flock. Well, you might ask in hearing these things, how can I possibly do this? Well, that brings us third to consider the elder's motivation. That's an appropriate question. How can I possibly do this? Well, here in verses 28, the end of 28 on through 30, the Apostle Paul gives us three considerations for our motivation. First of all, he says, by considering your calling. Brothers, tonight the Holy Spirit is making you men, overseers within the church of God. This is not an act done merely by this congregation or with the approval of the current session. Through these means, the Holy Spirit Himself is making you overseers within the church. He is setting you apart tonight to care for the souls within this congregation, and you must never forget this. Instead, you need to think about this often. You need to reflect upon this truth, to use it to stir you up to fervency within your office, because if the Holy Spirit calls you to something, He will also provide you with what you need for it. Second, Paul says, consider Christ's sacrifice. Paul pressed the Ephesian elders with this point. He simply pointed out to the Ephesian elders that the folks for whom they cared were purchased by Christ's own blood. He wanted the Ephesian elders to return home and to see within God's people those who were purchased at the highest price. Because that is the consideration that you need to know, how are we to care for these people? If Jesus paid such a high price for them, how should I care for them? And then further, what are my sacrifices compared to His? Well, third, the Apostle Paul says here, consider finally the danger. Paul warned these elders that fierce wolves would come in among them, not sparing the flock, and that men from among themselves would arise speaking twisted things, seeking to draw the sheep away from the good shepherd. Well, as it was then, so it is today. The Apostle Paul stirs up the Ephesian elders by saying, consider the danger of your negligence in this office. He's saying, if you are negligent in this office, fierce wolves will wreak havoc upon the church. A shepherd cannot let down his guard because wolves will sneak in unnoticed with ill intent. And so elders must be on guard. If a shepherd begins to believe that his flock is not susceptible, it is in that very moment that they have become very vulnerable. So elders are motivated by considering their calling, Christ's sacrifice, and the danger of their own negligence. Well, finally, let's consider tonight the elders' posture. The elders' posture. The conclusion that Paul comes to for the Ephesian elders and for every elder in Christ's church is this. He says, be alert, be dependent, and become more and more like Christ. First, he says, be alert. Look at verse 31. He says, therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Just think about that. For 3 years, Paul did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. That's how he explains what it is like to be alert. Now, we all know what it is like to be tired or drowsy. And we know that it is especially hard during seasons like that to give our attention to what we ought. But this is the call of the elder. The elder is to be the watchman upon the wall of the city that is the church. He is to remain watchful even while others are taking their rest. He is, in fact, to remain watchful so that others might take their rest. The elder's posture is one of being alert and being watchful. Second, he says, be dependent. Paul's final thoughts are summed up in this. We must remain dependent upon God and His Word. These are the sum of Paul's final words to the Ephesian elders. He says, and now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. As you undertake this office tonight, you are to be dependent. You are to be dependent upon God and the word of His grace because it is God and His grace that are able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And these words are a particular encouragement for elders because Paul is here not addressing the church as a whole, although this still applies. But here he is addressing elders, and he is commending them to God and to the word of His grace because he knows that their calling will drive them out of themselves. Their calling will drive them beyond themselves. And so he is reminding these Ephesian elders of their own insufficiency and the perfect sufficiency that they have offered to them in Christ. Again, it is to the elders who are asking who is sufficient for these things that Paul provides the ready answer. It is God and the word of His grace. You see, the resources that you need lie outside of you. To be found faithful to your calling is an impossibility if you look inward, if you rely upon yourself. And yet, if you will cast yourself wholly upon Him, He will be faithful. And He will give you what you need to fulfill your office. Well, finally, the Apostle Paul says, become more and more like Christ. At the end of our text, Paul returns to his own example of Christ-like service. And he points out how his own service, his own way of life, showed how he took Christ's words to heart. He gives us those words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe Paul says these words because I think there is a particular temptation in the office of elder to think more about receiving than giving. There is a temptation that comes with this office. And the way to be guarded against that temptation is to keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the reason why the Apostle Paul's heart now beats with love for Christ's body is because the Apostle Paul's heart now beats with love for Christ. And so what we see here in the text, it is not a natural love, but instead a supernatural love. And his love for the church sprung from the deepest recesses of God's own heart as he was filled with love as he looked to Christ. And so, brothers, as you look to Christ and as Christ is formed in you, may your hearts be filled with love, this same love that we see here in God's Word. May we all tonight give thanks for these men. We have heard even tonight of what awaits them in their ministry. Let us be dedicated to lifting them up regularly, constantly in prayer. Let us pray for them as they undertake this service as those who will give an account before God one day. Let us pray together. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that the realities that we have considered tonight would be impressed upon our hearts. Lord, we do pray for Brandon and for Jeremiah tonight. We thank you for their willingness to serve in this office to which you have called them and the Holy Spirit will place them tonight. Lord, we pray that you would make these men to be shepherds after your own heart. Lord, we pray that you might fix their eyes upon Christ, that he might be their constant and single focus. Lord, that they might in all of their circumstances be able to look to Christ in order to reflect him. Lord, we pray that you would watch over and care for these men and for their families. No doubt as they undertake this office, it will come with trials and challenges as we have seen here in your word, and we pray that you would uphold them by your Spirit. And Lord, we pray for ourselves as a congregation. Lord, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers and raising up two more men to serve in this office. And Lord, we pray that you would make us faithful to earnestly and regularly pray for these men and for their families. And Lord, we pray that you would bless according to your design. Lord Jesus, you have told us in your word that when you rose on high, you gave gifts to men. Lord, you have given to the church the office of elder. You have placed men in these positions for the good of the church and for the glory of your name. And Lord, that is what we seek tonight. We seek your blessing upon us as a congregation. Lord, that we might truly exist to glorify your name with our lives in this world. And as we seek to follow the pattern that you have provided for us in the New Testament, we pray that you would bless to the praise and to the glory of your name as we pray this now in Christ. Amen. Well, let's turn together in our psalm books now to Psalm 66.